Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our drama today, The Visitor from Illinois, was written by Morton Wishengrad and features Raymond Edward Johnson and Mark Cavell. It is presented as part of the national observance of Lincoln's birthday.
Outside the big railroad depot, the February wind blows cold. The year is 1860, and the tall stranger sets down his small valise and rubs his hands for warmth. He isn't much to look at. Longer than a string bean, gaunt, sad-eyed, his clothes black, wrinkled, the poorest imaginable fit a man could buy. A stranger and forlorn in the big city. For Abraham Lincoln has come out of Illinois to make a speech in New York. But there is no one at the depot to bid him welcome. No one except a dirty street urchin crying his wares.
Hot sweet. Buy my sweet potatoes. 2 4 pennies.
Oh, boy.
Sweet. How many, mister?
Could you tell me the way to the Astor House?
Yeah, buy some potatoes and I'll tell you.
Oh, you little scallywag. Is that New York custom?
Yeah. Sweet potatoes. Hot sweet.
All right, you scallywag. Here's your penny. Now, how do I get to the Astor House?
Yeah, turn your head that way.
This way?
Uh-huh. Now, take a good look down the street.
I am.
Good. Now, just follow your nose.
Oh, thank you, boy. Put down that valise.
Yeah, I'll carry it for you, Ruth.
Well, come back with it.
Goodbye, mister. I'm in a hurry.
Now, put down that valise, you little thief. Drop that satchel.
But he's stealing the man's suitcase. He's heading for the alley, mister.
Oh, much obliged, ma'am.
Stop thief!
Stop thief!
All right, folks.
Now, you're not
listen here.
Me.
If you'll quiet down, we can get to the bottom of the whole thing.
What are you doing here?
Who saw what happened?
I seen it, officer.
Why, you're drunk.
For sure, but I seen it. The room here put down his release and the kid snatched it. I'm a witness. Be glad to testify for $2.
That'll do. Lounsford, this is your valise.
It is, officer.
Well, this boy's told it.
That's a filthy lie. I was carrying it for him, so I shouldn't lose it.
Oh, the brazen one. The brazen one.
Look here, sir. Can you prove that this satchel belongs to you?
I can. It has some soiled clothes, a Bible, and some pages of blue foolscap on which you will find some rather illegible handwriting.
Well, that's easily checked. Step back, please. I can't open the satchel with everyone breathing on my neck. Step back now. Go on back. Well, now, let's see. Is the Bible all right? And the papers? Well, mister, can you identify what's written on these papers?
I can, officer. Now, that page in your hand, I could tell you what's on it.
That would be positive proof.
Very well. Some of you are for reviving the foreign slave trade. Some for the great principle that if one man would enslave another, no third man should object. Fantastically called popular sovereignty. Is that enough?
Well, say, mister, you know that speech pretty well.
Well, I know the man who wrote it pretty well.
You don't say. What's his name?
A man from Illinois named Lincoln. Now, officer, I believe I proved the bag belongs to me.
Yes, sir, you have. Now, if you'll be good enough to come to the station house and prefer formal charges against the boy, we can get this thing finished in no time at all.
I shan't prefer charges.
What? Well, he stole it.
Well, he tried to, and I've recovered it.
It's your duty to prefer charges. It's a question of justice.
That's true. It's also a question of mercy. He's a mere boy.
Sir, This mere boy is a member of the notorious Five Points Gang. He was born bad. He is bad. He will die bad.
Madam, I'm sure you are speaking the truth as you see it. However, I shall not prefer charges against the boy. If you good people will allow me, I should like to speak to the lad.
Well, I suppose you know what you're doing. All right, folks, the party is over. Come on now, let's move along.
You're making a great mistake, sir.
Maybe, but it won't be the first mistake I made. What's your name?
Benji Miller.
Very well, Benji. You can carry my valise and find us a handsome cab. We're going to ride to the Astor House in style. Benji, where's your father?
Larry's Saloon.
Does your father work there?
His father drinks there.
How about your mother?
I ain't seen my mother in 3 months.
Oh. Quite a family life you lead.
What's wrong with it?
Well, how do you get along?
Stealing things.
Boy, did you ever hear of the Ten Commandments?
Yeah.
Well, don't you believe in them?
Only in the 11th Commandment. Don't get caught.
Benji, I'm going to take you up to my room and see that you get something to eat, but first, I'm going to put you over my knee and teach you about the Ten Commandments.
You're going to hit me?
I am.
You hit hard?
I do.
You think I'm going to cry?
I would be surprised if you did.
You're all right, mister. Go on, hit. Use his entitle.
Oh. Well, make yourself comfortable, Benji. Quite comfortable?
Yeah, pretty good.
Benji, this is for stealing. Thou shalt not steal. This is for telling a lie. Thou shalt not bear false witness. This is for being unfriendly to a stranger. And this, Benji, this is for making Abraham Lincoln run in a pair of brand new shoes. A pair of brand new tight shoes. Oh, Benji, 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 my feet do hurt.
Don't call me Benji so much. And it ain't my feet that's hurting. Ow!
Well, I poured your milk, Benji, and you'll find bread and butter under this napkin. Now, you better hurry, because I expect two gentlemen in a few minutes. Oh, now, what's wrong?
Milk.
Well, what's wrong with milk?
I drink beer.
How old are you?
What's the difference?
You steal, you lie, you drink beer.
I used to smoke. Gave it up when I was 8.
Do you go to school?
Ha!
I heard someone say you lived in the Five Points District. What is that, boy?
The slum at Mulberry Bend. 5 streets meet there. That's why they call it the Five Points. Murderers, thieves, clip joints, gambling houses, flop houses, and 270 saloons. 270.
Isn't there someone concerned about what happens to boys and girls growing up in a district like that?
Ha! Yeah, there's a settlement house. 5 Points Settlement House. Wash your face. Read the Bible. Now be a good little man.
Don't make fun of those things.
Put it in your stovepipe and light it. They's reformers.
You could use a little reforming.
I like me like I am.
I'll tell you a secret. I like you like you are. You got spunk. You're independent. You're imaginative. And you're intelligent.
Thanks.
But what will you do with those wonderful qualities? Will you put them to good use or to bad use? Will you become a decent member of society or will you become a criminal, a thief, a burglar, a murderer? Son, what's going to be the way for you?
Who cares?
I care.
Ah, go on.
I do care.
Ah, that's a big laugh. Now, why do you care?
You're a valuable person.
Ah, cut it out. You want something from me, don't you?
I'm going to take you to 5 Points out.
Yeah, you and who else? You let go of my pants. Let me out of this room, you hear me?
Are you little...
Let me go.
Alley-wagger.
Leave me alone, let me go.
Mississippi catfish.
Let me go or I'll bite you.
You wouldn't dare.
No, how's this, Mr. Lincoln?
Oh.
So I wouldn't dare to bite you, huh?
Benji.
You let me go.
Dear little Benji, I've heard it said that with some people, before knowledge can enter, first the skin must be broken. Well, you've broken my skin, and now it's my turn. Mr. Benji, I'm going to whale you until knowledge enters through every pore of your posterior. Then I'm going to carry you personally to Five Points House. And the two gentlemen who'll be here in a moment will assist me. Now, don't you pull away. I got a tight grip in your pants.
Looks like you now got a suit with two pairs of pants. Bye-bye, Mr. Lincoln. Give my regards to the gentlemen.
These are the arrangements, Mr. Lincoln. Mr. McCormick and I will take you to the meeting tomorrow, but we think you should spend the balance of Sunday working on your speech.
Yes, of course.
This speech at Cooper Union may make up a lot of minds. Here in the East, we've heard about your debates with Douglas, but now we want to see for ourselves whether or not you're presidential timber. Mr. Lincoln, have you listened to a single word I've said?
What?
McCormick, why are we bothering? This man doesn't want to be president.
Gentlemen, I owe you an apology.
Say it another time.
Oh, forgive me. I've been terribly distracted. There's a small boy. He was here with me. You know how it is sometimes between a boy and an adult. We quarreled, and now he's run away.
Your son, Mr. Lincoln?
Not my son. Yet, I can say truthfully that he's dear to me. I hardly know where to look for Benji.
Well, why didn't you say so, Lincoln? McCormick and I will be glad to help. Can you describe him?
He's about so tall, dark hair, blue eyes, a cleft chin. When I last saw him, his face was dirty and his nose and his feet were running. Yes, he wasn't wearing his pants.
My dear Lincoln.
However, he has undoubtedly stolen a better pair by this time. Gentlemen, please help me find small boy.
Who, obviously, from your description, is a hoodlum.
Well, not
Mr.
That.
Lincoln, may I point out that on the day after tomorrow, you are scheduled to deliver an address at Cooper Union?
I realize that, but the boy
The boy is inconsequential, sir. I remind you, sir, your speech may make you the Republican candidate for president.
I must find the
boy.
You
must do nothing of the sort. You must edit and re-edit your speech until it is letter perfect.
Then you find Benji for me.
How?
Now, go down to the Five Points. Go to the saloons. Go to the dens. Say that Abraham Lincoln is looking for him. Say that tomorrow afternoon I will be at Five Point Settlement House to meet him.
Mr. Lincoln, tomorrow afternoon you should be revising your speech. The speech may be a turning point in your career.
So is a boy's life. I'll leave word that I will be at Five Points House tomorrow afternoon. Perhaps Benji will come.
On Sunday, February 26, 1860, Mr. Abraham Lincoln of Illinois, on the eve of his crucial Cooper Union speech in New York City, chose to visit the settlement house in the notorious New York slum known as the Five Points. A tall, sad-faced man wearing a wrinkled black suit, limping painfully in his tight new shoes, searching a slum street for a ragamuffin named Benji.
I say, young man. And may I ask you a question?
I say, mister, you got any cigar butts?
Sorry, I don't smoke. Can you please tell me where Five Points House is?
What's the matter? You got consumption? It's across the street.
Would you know a boy named Benji?
How much?
Well, then you do know him.
50 cents.
Tell me what you know.
Cash in advance.
You promise to tell me what you know?
For cash in advance, 50 cents.
One moment. 10, 20, 45.
46, 47, 48, 49, 50. Ha ha! You didn't have to pay me nothing, because I got a message for you from Benji, cash free. You leave him be, see?
What sort of world is this where young children behave like they're depraved elders?
Benji said you talked funny. Now, look, Mr. Lincoln, don't you bother Benji. He's doing all right. Leave Benji alone.
I'm going across to Five Points House, and I'll wait there until he joins me.
What a laugh.
Ha, 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 ha,
My dear Mr. Lincoln, I cannot tell you how deeply honored we of Five Points House are by this gracious visit. In behalf of the Board of Trustees, may I extend a cordial welcome.
You are very kind.
Mr. Lincoln, these children inhabit one of the most sordid slum areas in the United States. They need help.
I believe you.
Will you speak to their Sunday school class?
Why, not a minister of the gospel. I'm a lawyer.
Well, the newspapers report you as a candidate for president.
Mm.
Even to these children, that means something. Will you say something to the boys?
Well, I came here to say something to one boy.
Benji Miller?
Yeah, you know him.
Only too well. One of the brightest boys in Mulberry Bend. One of the wildest. Mr. Lincoln, if I bring Benji Miller here, if I persuade him to sit with the other boys, will you address our religious school class?
You won't hurt him.
We don't use force at Five Points. There's enough force and brutality already.
Bring Benji. I want that very much.
He will be here.
Where will you find him?
In a dive, in an alley, in a den of thieves. From wherever he is, I will bring him, Mr. Lincoln. You may count on it.
Ah, so you brung me. So I ain't going in, so what?
You will join the others, Benji, and when it's time for Bible reading, you will read today's portion.
Ah, you're a cheapy foreman punk. My knuckles is bleeding.
Oh, I didn't strike you, Benji. You struck me. Let's be clear about that. You will read today's portion. I've marked the place for you. The Book of Exodus.
Ah, you're crazy. I don't eat nothing.
I know where your mother is.
That don't mean a thing to me.
Whatever you say.
How is the old lady?
Not well.
You don't say.
She's been very sick.
She ain't...
No, she's alive. She's in a charity hospital. I can take you to see her if you want me to.
Now?
This evening. They are waiting for us inside. She'll be going.
You promise you'll take me?
I give you my word. Do we go in?
Yeah. Yeah, we go in.
That will do. We have a distinguished visitor today, but before we hear from him, Benji Miller will read this morning's portion from the Bible. All right, Benji.
Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm, and with great judgment, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians.
Thank you, Benji. It is my great pleasure now to introduce a visitor from the state of Illinois, Mr. Abraham Lincoln.
I've never talked to a religious school class before, but I have talked to children, my own children. And I'm going to pretend that all of you are my children. I'd like to take all of you in these long arms of mine and tell you this. I used to be poor, just like you. I remember times when my toes stuck out of my broken shoes in the winter. I didn't have a coat to wear. I shivered with the cold. But this one thing I always remember above everything else, and you must remember it too. Always do the best you can. And never be afraid.
We're pretty tough. We ain't never afraid.
Well, if you're not afraid, why are you banded together in a gang?
Why?
Why?
I don't know.
Because you are afraid. Because you stand outside society. Because you're lost and you crave to be found. The remnant that must be returned. How's it go, Benji? The story about Joseph and his brothers. Your brothers had sold you, like Joseph, into Egypt. Now, will you hate your brothers for it, or will you, like Joseph, prepare a deliverance for it? Oh, forgive me, I speak in parables and I puzzle you.
What's a parable, Mr. Lincoln?
You were a parable. Well, you are Benji Miller, but you too are a slave in Egypt. A bondsman in the slums of Mulberry Bend. The slaves in the South are also a parable. For they are the new Israelites, chained by the Pharaoh. And Benjamin, it takes a man to break a chain and set another man free. Do you want to be a man?
Sure.
Then you must learn that you cannot be a man without being gentle. It takes strength to be gentle. Bullies don't have that strength. They're weak. That's why they're bullies. Can you understand that?
I don't know.
You think about it, Benji, and try to understand.
All right.
Boys, there is something else I know, and I must tell you. I know there is a God, and that he hates injustice and slavery. I see the storm coming, and I know that his hand is in it. If he is a place and work for me, and I know that he has, I believe I'm nothing. But the truth is everything. But some people don't care whether slavery is voted up or down, but God cares and humanity cares, and I care. A storm will come and I shall be vindicated, and these men will find that they have not read their Bibles right. I didn't intend to preach to you. Thank you for listening. I'm gone now.
I'll go with you, Mr. Lincoln.
The whole way, Benji?
I guess so.
On February 27th, 1860, on the eve of the ordeal of the American Republic, candidate Abraham Lincoln of Illinois stood before an audience in Cooper Union and spoke of justice.
If our sense of duty forbids this, then let us stand by our duty fearlessly and effectively. Let us be diverted by none of these sophistical contrivances wherewith we are so industriously plied and belabored. Contrivances such as groping for some middle ground between the right and the wrong. Vain is the search for a man who should be neither a living man nor a dead man. Such is the policy of don't care. On a question about which all true men do care. Such as invocations to Washington, imploring men to unsay what Washington said and undo what Washington did. Neither let us be slandered from our duty by false accusations against us, nor frightened from it by menace of destruction to the government, nor of dungeons to ourselves. Let us have faith that right makes might. And in that faith, let us to the end dare to do our duty as we understand it.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York, 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Robert Sherwood, distinguished American playwright. Mr. Sherwood.
In the 10 years before Abraham Lincoln emerged from obscurity to become a candidate for President of the United States, there were vast waves of immigration from Europe to America. These waves were due primarily to unsuccessful revolutions and hard times in the Old World. Another factor was the greatly increased facility of transatlantic travel due to the development of the steamboat. Up until then, the population of our country had been largely Anglo-Saxon. But now came masses of immigrants from Germany, Ireland, Russia, Italy, the Austro-Hungarian Empire, and those masses of new Americans promoted a wave of nationalism and race prejudice here in the United States. A political party was formed at the time called the American Party. Its members were generally called the Know-Nothings. It was dedicated to the proposition that only Protestants of pure Anglo-Saxon origin should enjoy the benefits of citizenship. When asked where he stood on these issues, Lincoln said, "I am not a know-nothing or supporter of the so-called American Party. That is certain. How could I be? How can anyone who abhors the oppression of Negroes be in favor of degrading classes of white people? Our progress in degeneracy seems pretty rapid." Those words were written by Abe Lincoln 98 years ago in a letter to his friend, Joshua Speed. Lincoln was one of the most effective forces in ending the American Party and fighting the spirit of prejudice that it then represented. He said that this spirit forces many good men among ourselves into an open war with the very fundamental principles of civil liberty. He called it the very negation of the Declaration of Independence. The spirit of prejudice has never fully died out within us. As long as we harbor it, here in our free country, we are unfaithful to the principles of the man whose birthday we celebrate on February 12th, the martyred president whose soul goes marching on.
Thank you, Mr. Sherwood. Our Eternal Light drama today, The Visitor from Illinois, was written by Morton Wishengrad. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Raymond Edward Johnson as Lincoln and Mark Cavell as Benji. The music was composed and conducted by Morris Mamorski. The production was under the direction of Edward King. This is Mel Brand speaking. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.